time to feel the rush of the round table. Brought to you by Big Ass Fans. Ideal for home and business applications, including clean air system models to kill viruses. Go to bigassfans.ca.
Here we go for Thursday, the 25th of February. Joining us, the host of The Morning Rush at CFRA in Ottawa. He's been waiting patiently in the wings and now ready to perform.
I'm excited to be here.
Pumped.
Yeah.
It's Bill Carroll.
Let's just get this done.
Andrea Barrett is here as well, diversity and inclusion consultant with the Diversity Agency. Hello, Andrea.
Hello. I am equally excited.
This is let's good.
Do it.
This is good stuff.
I love the excitement you're all bringing to the table. So let's start off with, you know, yesterday I wasn't all that fussed. Listen, I'm at the end of the line when it comes to vaccines. I'm 44. I don't, you know, hold out any hope that I'm going to be getting a vaccine anytime soon. But I saw the timeline and I thought, you know, yesterday's announcement, everybody was doom and gloom. I thought, okay, it's not the worst we could possibly do. But apparently, according to Dr. Isaac Bogosh, who was on the show earlier today, this was the worst case scenario that they mapped out. They've got a better plan in place. It's going to be coming in the next couple of days. It just hasn't gone by cabinet yet. So his reaction to this today was basically like the numbers yesterday, the schedule you saw yesterday, don't buy into it so much.
It's challenging because people saw those dates and rightfully so were very, very upset because, you know, if you're 60 years old, obviously you want that vaccine way earlier than July. I think when you take a step back and you watch how this is going to be operationalized, we're going to see those dates bumped up significantly. I wish I had more details that I could say right now. Unfortunately, I don't, other than take that information with a giant grain of salt, and those are likely going to be significantly accelerated.
So, Bill, it turns out he was on the show, and I said, well, do you have more details? He does, but he can't share them because of non-disclosure agreements, and I respect that. But it sounds like they've got their act together. So why yesterday was the general out there telling everybody that this is the timeline if it's simply the worst-case scenario? He never mentioned that.
Well, so far, when it comes to vaccines, the worst-case scenario keeps being the one that pans out, so I don't think you should count on this. They could talk to each other, though, right? You're on this vaccine task force. Could you let one guy do the talking so that media is not having this conversation, right? Because now we think you're all full of crap. The other thing is, though, you just got to remember, I mean, over 60, in July, you'd get your first shot. Just remember, I did a quick look at Stats Canada this morning. It's easier to find the 65-plus breakdown, but that's only about 16% of the population of Canada. So if we're all supposed to be vaccinated by September, that's going to be a hell of a backlog that they have to get rid of in August when you vaccinated at 60 plus must be what, maybe 20 something percent of the public. So they have a long, long way to go to get this done. And July's a long time to wait if you're over 60 and you're in a vulnerable category.
Now, that said, Andrea, Dr. Bogosh does seem fairly positive. He's seen the plan, couldn't tell us much about it. It's got to go before cabinet and they've got to give it the rubber stamp, but he seemed positive.
No, I think this is good. I think, right, we always want to under-promise and over-deliver, and they need to manage our expectations, and I think that's exactly what they did. Give us the worst-case scenario, then surprise us. We're going to get more vaccines. We know we have 4 million coming from Pfizer. There are more in the pipeline. We're waiting for what's coming from AstraZeneca and from Johnson & Johnson. This is the way they should do it. Under-promise and over-deliver. We can make it till September. You and me, Ryan, young cats like us, we can wait until September.
That's right. Like that. Young, beautiful people that you are. It is day two for us as we look into international travelers arriving at Toronto's Pearson Airport. And then what's that sound like again, Brian, when they leave? Yes.
Hey, look over there.
Yoink. Peace out. Not hanging out. I'm good not going to a hotel. I don't want to quarantine. I'm just going to go home. Peel Regional Police said that while most cases were resolved after conversations with officers, some people still refusing to follow the rules and were fined $880 under Ontario regulations. Day two of us trying to get answers. They've essentially, Bill, as I'm sure you're very familiar with, don't want to talk to us, but it really seems like we've got some holes that aren't filled and don't look like they're going to be filled anytime soon.
They've talked to me three times. They just don't like you guys.
Oh, it's us.
What it is. No,
they haven't talked to me either. You know, imagine my surprise that people who went traveling while the rest of us sat in our basements are not always following the rules and hanging around waiting for the hotel. Shocking. Look, I know some of these people traveled because a family member was sick and they felt they had to, or maybe they had to go to a funeral or whatever it was. Fine. But you know, a lot of them just went traveling for fun. And they had a good time. So, of course, they're not going to hang around and be inconvenienced waiting for a hotel room. The question is, do we have a good system in place to track them down and punish them appropriately? And I'm not convinced we do.
Yeah, you know what, Andrea, anecdotally, there was a guy on the Evan Solomon show today who talked about how when he came back, that his entire flight of 50 people were unable to get through to that phone line to book hotels. So when they actually landed at Pearson, they had a quick conversation with officials who said, oh, you were business? Here's a code. You're on your way. You don't even have to quarantine. Again, that's anecdotally, but you can tell that there's certainly some issues with this entire system.
Certainly, indeed. Loopholes. There shouldn't be any loopholes. It upsets me that we come up with these really good ideas to keep us all safe, but then we fall down on execution. Why don't we have more people working on creating a proper solution or testing the solution? Get more people answering the phones or get a better team to develop the software, the apps to get this done. Such a good idea, and we need to do this. When people come back into the country, we need to do whatever we can to keep them safe and quarantined and make sure we're all healthy. Why didn't this? They just fell down on the execution, which I think is a shame because we don't want these people going back to their homes and being integrated into the society.
Let's talk about keeping politicians in their homes a little bit longer. A new estimate suggests a move to a hybrid parliament where a number of MPs don't bother flying to Ottawa, but instead do it virtually could save us more than $6.2 million a year. A lot of that has to do with travel expense and residencies and living arrangements and that type of thing. Bill, I wouldn't be against this. I'm other than tradition, is there really a need for an MP, let's say, from British Columbia to keep flying back and forth from their riding to Ottawa? I mean,
yeah,
maybe
of course there is.
Okay, go ahead.
And I can't believe even during the pandemic they haven't come back to work. Other parliaments are meeting in person now. They should at least be in their offices or nearby to vote more often. A lot of the work that's done here in Ottawa is done not just sitting in the House. It's the meetings that go on, the discussions that happen between politicians and the lobbying that goes on and the citizens groups that meet. They got to be in work. If government is not an essential service, I don't know what is. And when you look at the total cost of running government, $6 million a year is nothing. And by the way, some of that will already be offset because it's expensive now to handle the virtual parliament. So you would save a little bit of money there. So one would offset the other. I just don't think it's worth it. No. Well, they come to work. That's what they get elected to do.
It's also impossible to take envelopes full of cash at a steakhouse if you're all the way across the country. I mean, Ottawa.
No, but they just email it to you now.
It's an e-transfer.
PayPal
makes a lot of sense. Andrea, how do you see this the same as Bill, that they need to be there?
I do not. The rest of the world is working virtually. Why can't they? If it's working, $6 million. Come on, Bill. That's a lot of money. We're going to need that money.
Not working.
No,
that's the problem.
It's not working.
You're putting power in the hands of too few people if you only have a handful of the most important people in Ottawa. And you think the West is already upset enough that they don't feel represented? Because the farther away you are from Ottawa, the less likely those people are to come to work. You don't want that. They need to be in Ottawa representing their constituents. This is not an ordinary job. These are not people doing office work. They're supposed to be representing their constituents in Ottawa. They should be meeting with the Prime Minister and the Finance Minister. And a big part of an MP's job is going to meet with the civil service, making sure things are being done. There's a lot more to it than that. Come on.
They're
elected representatives.
Let Andrew get the last.
It's not just voting.
No,
hold on. Andrew, last word on this.
But I think we can do both. It's hybrid. So some of them are in session meeting together and the rest of them are virtual. They'll just take turns going back and forth. $6 million, we're going to need this money. And I think this is a great way to reduce the cost.
How many times have we seen politicians? We had one at City Hall doing this the other day, voting while driving. You know, and it's a budget meeting. They're not giving the full attention if they're in their living rooms or in their cars or in their parks or in hotel rooms, whatever they're doing. No, let's show up to work.
I would also argue that she hasn't given her full attention anyway. I'll save that for another day.
I have been multitasking, answering texts right now at 7:10:10 to give everybody the web details for a new alert system that police have recently used to find two missing girls. It's been endorsed by the country's police chiefs. It's known as the Child Search Network. It allows police to put out information on a missing child via a website and a smartphone app. Members of the public can then offer tips by clicking on the name, the picture of the child. I've already downloaded this, Bill. You can go anywhere in the country and find out who is missing. And what I like about this system as well is they take the kids' pictures down when they're found, but they let you know that they have found someone. I think it's a smart idea.
Well, it might be. I don't know for sure because I look at this story that your producer sent me and journalism is dead. It says police services across Canada received 40,425 reports of missing children or youth. since what, yesterday or in a week, a month, a year? I have no idea. The reporter didn't think that that was an important
fact. I was going to say, for the record, our producer didn't write the story.
No, not here, no. Okay. Somebody else half wrote this story. So I'm going to assume it's over a year. That could be the only problem with it. If this, and you've got 3/4 of the young people are runaways, some of them probably don't want to be found. So if this thing is lighting up your phone all the time, after a while, people will ignore it. So I'd like to know for sure what the numbers are, sure, so that it's not overused. But yeah, I can't tell because journalism is dead.
And the way it works, Andrea, is you sign up for the app. I already have. I believe in the journalism so far. And you simply give it your phone number and the geographical location where you live, and it will only push notifications for you based on where you're living. And I still think it's a good idea. I think it's just a push notification. It's not going to come on my TV. It's not going to be happening overnight 8 or 9 different times. And for people that are put off by the Amber Alert, and everybody says it doesn't bug them at all, but we know it does when it happens so darn often, it feels like an interesting option.
I think this is great. I think this is a brilliant idea. Look, we found 2 kids in Calgary, I think it was. Anything we can do to find kids that are abducted or taken or missing faster, it is brilliant. This just makes sense. And going into our phones, we're always attached to a phone or on visiting. We're mobile all the time. So meeting people where they are to help, I think this is beautiful.
The television show Frasier is going to have a reboot. It's going to come back to television. Oh, stop it. My opinion on this basically today was that this is nothing more than Hollywood being lazy and giving us stuff that we really don't want because they think that we are all about comfort television. Very quickly, Bill, you sound happy about this idea.
Yeah, anything that's not a reality show involving housewives in Beverly Hills, I am all in on. I love Cheers. I love Frasier. I'm willing to give it a look. Now, I suspect it'll be crap. But I hope it's good. And if it's good, I'll watch it.
Andrea, are you sick of the reboot?
Absolutely. Frasier was one of my favorite shows. I remember when, during the last season, I couldn't catch the final episode. I called home and said, somebody please record this for me. That was back in the VCR days.
Sure.
I love Frasier. I'm excited for this reboot. Kelsey Grammer is a fantastic actor. I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
Well, we did the impossible today. We found the 2 people that like that show. Bill, Andrea, thank you so much.
I just hate radio announcers. That's what it is.
That's exactly it.
And journalists.
You hate journalists.
Journalism
today.
Is dead.
There
dead.
You go. Bill, Carol, and Andrew, thank you so much. We appreciate it.